John Silence, Physician Extraordinary, by Algernon Blackwood. Case 6, A Victim of Higher Space.
"There's an extraordinary gentleman to see you, sir," said the new man.
"Why extraordinary?" asked Dr. Silence, drawing the tips of his thin fingers through his brown beard. His eyes twinkled pleasantly. "Why extraordinary, Barker?" he repeated encouragingly, noticing the perplexed expression in the man's eyes.
"He's so thin, sir. I could hardly see him at all at first. He was inside the house before I could ask the name," he added, remembering strict orders.
"And who brought him here?"
"He come alone, sir, in a closed cab. He pushed by me before I could say a word, making no noise, not what I could hear. He seemed to move so soft-like."
The man stopped short with obvious embarrassment, as though he had already said enough to jeopardize his new situation, but trying hard to show that he remembered the instructions and warnings he had received with regard to the admission of strangers not properly accredited.
"And where is the gentleman now?" asked Dr. Silence, turning away to conceal his amusement. "I really couldn't exactly say, sir. I left him standing in the hall."
The doctor looked up sharply. "But why in the hall, Barker? Why not in the waiting room?" He fixed his piercing, though kindly, eyes on the man's face. "Did he frighten you?" he asked quickly.
"I think he did, sir, if I may say so. I seemed to lose sight of him, as it were."
The man stammered, evidently convinced by now that he had earned his dismissal.
"He come in so funny, just like a cold wind," he added boldly, setting his heels at attention and looking his master full in the face.
The doctor made an internal note of the man's halting description. He was pleased that the slight signs of psychic intuition which had induced him to engage Barker had not entirely failed at the first trial. Dr. Silence sought for this qualification in all his assistants, from secretary to serving man, and if it surrounded him with a somewhat singular crew, the drawbacks were more than compensated for, on the whole, by their occasional flashes of insight.
"So the gentleman made you feel queer, did he?" "That was it, I think, sir," repeated the man stolidly.
"And he brings no kind of introduction to me? No letter or anything?" asked the doctor with feigned surprise, as though he knew what was coming. The man fumbled both in mind and pockets and finally produced an envelope.
"I beg pardon, sir," he said, greatly flustered. "The gentleman handed me this for you."
It was a note from a discerning friend who had never yet sent him a case that was not vitally interesting from one point or another. "Please see the bearer of this note," the brief message ran, "though I doubt if even you can do much to help him." John Silence paused a moment, so as to gather from the mind of the writer all that lay behind the brief words of the letter. Then he looked up at his servant, with a graver expression than he had yet worn. "Go back and find this gentleman," he said, "and show him into the green study. Do not reply to his question or speak more than actually necessary, but think kind, helpful, sympathetic thoughts as strongly as you can, Barker. You remember what I told you about the importance of thinking when I engaged you. Put curiosity out of your mind and think gently, sympathetically, affectionately, if you can.